Would you turn with me to please John chapter 4 for our message this morning? Do I have the map up there, Pastor Steve? Okay, they're going to put it up. There's a map of the area we are living in, Maryland. You see it? And then we have Baltimore. We went up to Northeast Maryland up here, where that white dot is. Do you see that? Okay, that comes out. We went up here to Stuartstown, Pennsylvania, last Sunday, just to be on the street, carload, to evangelize and pray. And I pray that we would meet somebody. We went 1 week, 2 weeks ago, we went up to Carroll County. The week before, 2 weeks before, we were in Westminster. We went to Emmitsburg. Yesterday, a group went to West Virginia. The Federal Hill Group went out here to Tennessee. And Pastor Chevelli's been up here in Philadelphia, Wilmington, Delaware. And it's been an adventure. A carload of people by faith just going without knowing anybody, not going knowing anybody in that town. But I have a map like this in my office, and I sit in front of it and I pray. And I pray that God would send us on Saturday. And a carload of us go with nothing but some tracts and prayer. And we stop and get a coffee. And we pull into town. We go in Main Street. We get out of the car and we walk praying. That's all we do. When nobody's in the town, like yesterday in Emmitsburg, it was raining. So the street was empty. We just started knocking on doors. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. One guy had lunch with us. Another guy, a lady said, "I can't believe you're knocking on my door." One man I met on the street, a young student, he said, "You don't know." He said, "You know, we talked. I gave him the message." He said, "You don't know what this means to me." And we said, "What's the problem?" He said, and Pastor Randy gasped. He said, "Is your girlfriend?" He goes, "Yeah. Like it's over, it's over." And he goes, "This happens over and over with me. It happens over and over with me." And so we went over it again, just telling him about God. You know, Christians assume they need to drag an unchurched person kicking and screaming into a conversation about spiritual matters. On the contrary, spirituality is a hot topic these days. People like to offer their viewpoints and compare them to yours. Don't fall into the trap of self-censorship. Have you ever felt like, "I can't say that, I can't say that," but maybe that's what needs to be said? So this is what we'll talk about this morning and teach from John 4. Okay, so you may be seated. The statistics may surprise you. According to pollster George Gallup, 8 of 10 Americans say religion is at least fairly important in their daily lives. Now, if you look at our media, we don't get that impression. If you look at a university campus, you may not get that impression. But in fact, if you go there, if you go on the streets of America, you can find another America from what you sometimes see on the media. The world is secular, but there's a cry in the human heart for the spiritual. There's a need for something more. There's a need for God. There is a lie that people don't want God or don't need God or don't think about God. But this says, public opinion researcher George Barna has found that among unchurched Americans, one out of five reads the Bible. They don't go to church, but one out of five reads the Bible, and nearly seven out of ten pray in a typical week. When Time magazine faced a news drought a few years ago, they threw an article about Jesus on the cover, and the issue became the biggest seller of the year. Books about God, pro and con, pepper the bestsellers lists. I have found that my atheistic friends bring up the topic of faith more often than many Christians do. You know, one of the benefits of coming to church is that you hear things that you carry with you, and they stick. And you have it in your heart and in your mouth. Proverbs 18:22, have your word fitted in my mouth. It's kind of like, you know how it works because you've been hearing it for years. When the Spirit gives you a rhema, or the Spirit speaks to you, you have something in your heart, and you can say it because you heard it first in your heart, and then you heard it in the church. So I have two things to say. Number one, the times we live in can cause me to turn inward and not have any adventure. Adventure is important. It seems to me when God calls us to faith, he calls us to adventure. Like walk on the water, like leave Egypt this way, not that way, the way the buses run, but the way where you're going to get trapped. Go that way, follow me, the cloud and the fire, and you'll get trapped. And in the trap, the Red Sea is in front of you, and the army behind you, but this is the way I want you to live. I want you to walk by faith, and I want you to have an adventure, a spiritual adventure, an adventure that challenges you naturally, an adventure that says God has commissioned us. We are on a mission. And that's a little phrase I say often. We are on a mission. We are on a mission. Sometimes with a guttural sound in my voice. We are on a mission. We are on a mission. I learned that in Florida with some of the brothers and sisters. When we were knocking on doors, we were fooling around and goofing around and being silly. By the way, if you get to know me, you'll know that I'm silly. I do it on purpose. It's the only way. I can stand in front of a mirror and laugh in an artificial way, and then it becomes a real way. I can be silly. I can do silly things. I can live in a different way because we've been forgiven of our sin. And God is our Father. And he says, don't take yourself so seriously. Now, sometimes when I'm interviewing somebody, I'm saying, tell me something that you could make fun of yourself. Tell me something that was embarrassing to you. Tell me something where you can laugh about yourself. When people cannot do it, it's not a good sign. Can you laugh about yourself? Do you take yourself too seriously? Is everything so serious? Well, look at the world. The country's on fire. Shouldn't we take it seriously? I take it seriously the right way. Because it cannot change my temperament, my calling. It cannot change my motivation, my adventure of faith. Do you know what America needs? Jesus Christ. You know what America needs? Christians that have a good time. Do you know what America needs? The message of the gospel. Do you know what America needs? Meeting the woman at the well. How many? One. One person. You know the old mathematical exponential illustration. If you put one penny on the first chessboard block, by the time you get to the end, You have this an exorbitant number. And it means that if one Christian would double, and though he would teach and him to evangelize, that would double. And if they would teach to evangelize, the whole thing would be filled. You know how you overcome evil? By doing good. You know how people change? By being saved. You know what God does in an evil world? He saves souls. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot didn't do it. All he needed was 10. And he didn't have 10. He didn't even have his wife. Remember Lot's wife. Okay. So let's go to the text. John chapter 4, please. Verse 1. Or where are we? 3. Verse 3. John 4, 3. He left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. That was not so strictly Jewish, was the northern kingdom that had years ago, 700 years ago, had before him, 700 years before Christ, had been invaded by the Assyrians, mixed population, deportation. It turned into a different country, a different religion, and he had to go there. And I like that. Go somewhere with a message. And you might say, you might say, I want to go with a kind of sacredness about it. I want to go with a kind of prayer, a kind of attitude of faith. I want to go with God in my heart, in my mind. When we go and there's a group of us in the car and we're fellowshipping in Jesus with the scripture and laughing, talking, singing, we're on a mission. And we want to go to find somebody. Back years ago up in New England, we learned this in Bible school. And we went to Conway, New Hampshire. And it was Diane Robinson's family. And we went there. And I came back driving. And I was just realizing, wow, this is like, there's joy in the car. There's joy in what we're doing. We don't see the end result. But maybe somebody will come from Conway, New Hampshire. Maybe somebody will get saved. I don't know how it'll work, but this is what happens. And so we did that, and then the church sent us to Finland. And we didn't know what we're doing there in a way, but why not do the same thing by faith? Read our Bible and go to Samaria. I must go to Samaria, Jesus said. I must go there because I'm teaching my disciples. I'm leading them in faith, and God is with us, and this is his work. There is a woman there, one woman. You know, sometimes we say we should be more churches in New York City. I go, why? Because there's millions of people there. Well, we don't need millions of people. We just need 10 or 20 or 30 or 50. One little village in Finland, I think it was 5,000 people in the whole village. Do you know how many people came out of that village into the ministry, into discipleship, into faith? 27. And you know who they are? Teja Patron, Mati Sirio, Kiko Kornin, Pertti Kornin, Mambo, many others, Juha Heikkinen. There's 27 out of a small town. Where we should go? Los Angeles. Well, wait a minute. Maybe there's a little town in Maryland. Thurmont, Maryland. Maybe there's a little town in Harper's Ferry or on the Eastern Shore. Or maybe there's some little town down the street a half hour away. I don't know. That's why this prayer and this faith and this adventure. One soul, one woman at a well. Let's read it. Chapter 4, verse 4, 5. Then he comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, about noon. Okay, why was he there at noon? Well, it's the hottest time of day. And the ladies don't go there at noon. They go there at 8 in the morning, 5, 6, I mean 7, a maybe in the evening, 4, 5, or 6, they go to the well. But not in the hottest part of the day. But Jesus went there then. Nobody's there. But there's a woman there. Everybody gossips about her. Everybody knows about her problem with men. She's been married many times. Everybody knows she's a... I'm sure she just wanted to go at noon and be alone, get the water, and go away from the women in the small town. But she had a need, a spiritual need. That's what's amazing about this world. God is knocking on the hearts of people, and God uses you and I. We are healthy. We have a sense of humor. We have faith. We have joy. We have a song. We have the gospel. We have forgiveness. We have the reality of Christ. We have the message. We have love in our hearts. We are listening. Look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Did he tell her about the gospel for spiritual loss? Did he tell her Romans Road? Did he go right at it? God loves you. You need to be saved. You're a sinner. Did he do it that way? No, he didn't. He just talked to her about something she knew that was natural and normal in the situation. Give me to drink. I'm thirsty. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you sell me a car? The used car salesman. Can you teach me a lesson? Can you tell me a story? Can you help me in my day? Can you make me laugh? Where do you live? What's interesting to you? I was in Saudi Arabia, actually in Oman, but the Arabian Peninsula, and this guy on a desert, camels. There was a camel farmer, and we were in this dust, dirt. It was looked like, you know, like it was like Saudi Arabia. It was incredible. We were there. We drove out of town. We go to this village only to stand in the street. And we were told, if you just stand in the street, somebody will come out of their house and invite you into their house. And you'll sit down and have tea and dates and pomegranates and bread, and they will talk to you. It happened. We're standing in the street. I don't know if Pete was there or was with me, or who it was. I was with another guy. We go into this house. He's a camel farmer. He goes, you want to see my camels? Now we're into it. We have no idea, you know, like where we are and should we go see his camel? Where are the camels? And the whole story is interesting. But I don't want to share the detail, that kind of detail, as much as to say that some people want to be needed. I need you. Can you give me a drink of water? They want to. They are there. They want to talk. They want to be needed. They want to be asked a question. They are there. They are all around us. And you don't have to be preaching to them. You do not have to be preaching to them. You can be listening to them. And listening to them and loving them in your heart. And just be a normal person. And be loving them in your heart and in your heart and be listening to them and asking God to help you understand what it is that would be good to say to them. So go to the text then, please. It says, verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Racial conflict, racial observation. Ethnic, you are Puerto Rican, aren't you? Or you are Jamaican, or you are from where? Or you have an accent. Where are you from? What's your original language? And so on. This is how people relate to each other. Often it's just on the surface. It's on the surface. And if we know Jesus, we know who God is. It is on the surface, but he knows what he's looking for. Not everybody's heart is like this woman's heart. Not everybody's heart is prepared like this woman's heart. You can't talk to every person like the way he talked to this woman. But this is here written for our learning. This is for our understanding. That there are a lot of people around us that are ready. They are prepared. And then there are a lot of people that are not. They're not prepared. I walk away from a lot of people. I walk away from a lot of people. They're not listening. They're not interested. I don't have the time to spend with them to talk long time about things that are not important or interesting. And nor do I jump into the thing, but I may make it very clear what I am talking about for sure. There's much to say about it. But go to the next verse, 10. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, meaning you don't know, but if you knew. Have you ever met somebody saying, I know, I've read the Bible, or I know those things, I already know that. Have you ever met people like this? Of course we have. But Jesus said, if you knew. And that's sometimes what we say. If you knew what we were talking about. If you knew what this means. It changes your life. It's the answer for your sorrow. It's the answer for your brokenness. It's the answer for your pain. It's the answer for your anxiety. Answer for your panic attacks. It's an answer for your depression. It's an answer for your fear. It's an answer for your future. It's an answer for your family. I met a woman one time. Her son had committed suicide, and this was 20 years plus, and she just, it was constantly plaguing her soul, and she could not get free from it. The sorrow of it, the pain of it, and we understand that. But I have to ask the question, is there an answer for that kind of pain? Is there an answer for that kind of problem? Is there an answer for a woman that is suffering like that? And Jesus could say, if you knew the gift of God, I think Jesus would lovingly say, maybe you don't know. And so we are in a world that, we need to know in our own heart what it is to be forgiven, what it is to be loved, what it means to be encouraged, what it means to walk in faith. So, verse 10, and who it is that saith to you, give me to drink? you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. He changes the conversation from donuts to super donut, you know, from water to living water, you know, from the religion to the gospel, you know, from just things about God to God. He changes it. That's what we try to do also. I want people to follow me. I have a funny story. I used to live in Hungary, and I went into this kochma. It was a bar room. It was less than a bar room. It was a garage. No, I wouldn't even give it that honor of calling it a garage. It was a dump. And there were some bottles, and the smoke was thick, and there was a whole group of there are people in there. And I spoke in Hungarian, and my Hungarian, one guy said to me after I preached in Hungarian, he goes, "Are you drunk?" Reszeg vagy. We have a couple Hungarians here. Mondtam nekem, hogy reszeg vagy. Okay, so I go, so anyway, Hungarian is terrible. But I got this group of guys, young guys, to follow me across town to the church. And I told them, come with me. So they probably didn't know what, I don't remember that part. But I got them to go, and we walked across town to the church, and they sat down, and we preached the gospel to them. You know, sometimes religion, it turns people off. They don't know what you're talking about. They don't know there's life in it. They don't know there's joy in it. They don't know there's freedom in it. But if you think about it, if God made whales, and God made this universe, and God made you and I, that God is the most awesome person to know. If you think about it, what God can do to the human heart. But God is kind of covered by religious concepts. And sometimes people are afraid of God. And they don't know who God is. And here Jesus is saying to the woman, if you knew the gift of God, two things. If you knew the gift of God and who is talking to you, you would ask him and he'd give you living water. There it is. That's the ministry that you and I have. That's what we want. That's the message. That's what this world is needing. And look at the direction that it's going in. Romans chapter 1 is about the fall of human hearts to homosexuality and many perversions and hatred and anger and violence and murder. This progression is happening in front of our eyes with civilized people that are falling into worse and worse, and this whole thing, this whole profile, and we're going to vote in a little while, and be sure to register and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I can tell you, if you were to compare Romans chapter 1 with the way we are, you'd find a big difference between the two. And you'd vote for what is right and what is true and what is moral. And, of course, that's not the answer in itself for our country. What is the answer is spiritual. It's for the heart to be changed, for the Holy Spirit to come into the life and change this woman. Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Isn't it interesting that in a way these words have like a spiritual meaning? You have not, Jesus, you don't have anything to draw. She didn't know his name. But you don't have anything to draw it with. And what would we say? What would Jesus, he could answer? Oh, you know, I draw from my Heavenly Father. My Father's pleased with me. He'll give me anything I ask Him. I draw from my Heavenly Father. And then she said, the well is deep. And he could say, it's deeper than you could ever imagine. It's eternal. The well that I draw from is spiritual. It's eternal. It's very deep. And I have what I need to draw from that well. I can give you anything. I can satisfy your soul. I can fill you with the Spirit. I can change your life. I can heal you of your diseases. I can save you. I can give you long life. I can make you fresh. I can renew your youth like the eagle in Psalm 103. I can satisfy you with good things. I open my hand and satisfy every living thing, the psalmist said, was at 143, verse 16. Imagine, if you fall, I will uphold you in Psalm 145. Imagine who I am. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, it's very, very, very deep. And I have what it takes to draw from it. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. You just come and go and come and go, and you're thirsty again. You come back and you come and go and come and go. You'll thirst again. Next Friday night, you'll be thirsty again. You'll be thirsty again. You need it, you know, again and again and again. And then he said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Have you found that? I'm not thirsty anymore. I am not. I'm not thirsty anymore. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up everlasting life. It's coming out of us now. Springing up the water. He is springing up. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. She's got it. She's smart. Listen, I got an idea. Give me this water so I don't have to come back here again. I'll take it. Is there any way we could package it and sell it? I want it. Really? Really? Is it? Does it exist? Is it real? Really? I see the shining faces. I read the story by Lee Strobel yesterday. His father-in-law was a staunch atheist, tough old guy, like 60 years old when he got married to his daughter or something. I don't really remember that. But he was a tough old guy, and Lee Strobel, his daughter Leslie, and then Lee Strobel got saved, and Lee went to his father-in-law to tell him the gospel, and the man said, "Don't ever talk to me again about this. I'm done. Don't ever talk to me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about God. Nothing." So, 20 years passed, and the man had a stroke. The man had a stroke and lost some of his powers. And then in their diagnosis, the doctor said, you know, he's going to have many little strokes and then eventually die from one of them. So they knew they had a little time. But he was told, never talk about Jesus of God again. You know, that's what he said. That was the last thing that he had said about that subject. But Lee Strobel just was battling with God. I got to tell him about Jesus because he's lost. So he's in his 80s, I think, or something like this, and he's very sick, very dying, and he's arranged it, set up the chair, the man sitting up, and he told him, I must talk to you about going to heaven. We don't want to be in heaven without you. We don't want to go there without you there. We want to go. We're going to go. But you're not going to be there. The man's sitting there quiet. You know, he's lost some of his faculties. And then he's, you know, just sitting silent, staring straight ahead, but it's working. And after some time, tears came to the man's eyes. He said, yes. But he said, you want to accept Jesus? Do you want to believe in Jesus? The man said, yes. I believe it was within a few days he had another stroke. And as the paramedics took him in the ambulance, he said to his daughter, tell Lee, thank you. They took him to the hospital and he died. Very close call. Very close call. Prayers. Prayers. We must open our mouth. We must talk to people. We must make it clear to them. We must be aware of our relatives. We must be praying for them and thinking and looking for those opportunities, because they are thirsty. They are. I sometimes think in my family, there are some on my side of the family, they're all saved. On my wife's side of the family, it's a different story. But I think in my family, I think they don't understand us. I think maybe even they're afraid. I think even they don't know why we are the way we are. They don't know what this is about. I read a story about in India, this missionary in India, who there was a baptism in a river. And there were Christians, and there was, in India, Hindu country, a lot of Hindus coming to Jesus and getting water baptized. And this man was there from a village, and he was enjoying it. But when the missionary went to his house to talk to him, like he sensed, suddenly walls went up. And he didn't know why. Like, I want to believe in Jesus, And the missionary said, do you want Jesus in your life? And suddenly the walls came up, and he didn't know why. And then he checked, and he was trying to wonder, what happened? What happened? And then the man's friend found out, and it was cockfighting. What's cockfighting? You know, when the birds are fighting with each other. He was enjoying that, or he was involved in that cockfighting. And the missionary said, well, what does that mean? He goes, he's afraid if he accepts Jesus, he has to give up cockfighting. He doesn't want to do that. He's afraid of that. So he's not going to become a Christian. Of course. One young man could say, I have an active sex life. I can't give it up. I'm not believing in Jesus, and don't talk to me about it because I have an active sex life. And I can't do I'm doing that. I'm not believing in Jesus or following Jesus. I don't know what that means to follow Jesus and believe in Jesus. What I get there will not be what I get here. What I get here is what I want, but what I get there, it is not what I want. But what's the answer to that? Jesus is saying it here to the woman. I will give you water, and you'll never thirst again. That means satisfaction. That means there's something ended. You know, something that I'm constantly pursuing over here, that thing that I'm constantly doing over here is somehow ended because I found God. When you find God, you find something that you cannot find here, because this is only something repeating. But when you find God, you find, like, the end, the satisfaction, the eternal, the spiritual. You are satisfied. And when you find it, you look at the other, the cockfighting thing, the game, and you look at it and you see it in a different way. I don't know. It doesn't strike me as a thing, a big, I don't know really what it is. I've never seen it. I only know about it. But I don't know. It could be like a big deal. On the other hand, sin is sin. And whatever it is Christ that leads me away from my sins and satisfies my heart. And when the woman, we'll finish, when the woman was talked to and Jesus went to her life, five husbands, the man you live with, when he went there, she recognized he's a prophet, but he actually was said, actually, she said, I know that one will come, the Messiah. I am he said to her. I am he. And, you know, the point is our ministry is in this world for this reason. And, you know, regardless of what happens in our election, you're going to love people. Regardless of what happens in our country, it'll never change. The ministry is the ministry. In essence, it doesn't change. There can be changes in our future because of the ungodliness and the powers that may be coming in, people coming into power. It may be a more wicked and evil situation than ever, but it doesn't change our ministry. Jesus came so that we could have a ministry of life. There'll be joy, authority, grace, understanding, wisdom, ministry, Bible school, meetings, whatever it is that we do by God's grace, and we'll be in our cars, hopefully by God's grace. Who knows how things will roll out, but I know that Jesus said this to us, and I believe it. Okay. So, that's it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the days we are living in and what it means to walk in faith. Somebody will come. They will come and they will make in their hearts a decision. They will learn and grow like Pastor Ronaldo Brown, Pastor Eugene, Zane, and many others. They will learn and grow in the ministry and learn what it is. And we will reproduce ourselves until you return. We go and meet you. We are in an important time, great time, beautiful. Amazing. May we know what we believe firmly in our hearts and not move from it, but learn to minister that life, that love. Teach us to win souls, Lord, to evangelize, to talk. Teach us to be wise. Teach us to lead others. Teach us to teach the Bible. Teach us to meet people in our neighborhoods. Teach us to help others. Teach us to pray for people. Teach us to minister to the woman at the well. We pray in Jesus' name. And then anyone here coming to Jesus today, come to Jesus today. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Give me, come into my heart. I pray. You saying that prayer to accept Jesus, would you raise your hand, please? Anyone in the room, just raise your hand. Anyone at all, yes to the Lord. The ushers will give you a booklet. And God bless you.